I feel that the best way to do it is just organically having those interactions with your child, honing in on their strengths. Mm-hmm. I mean, every night I over my daughter, I'm like, we pray and I say, thank you for Elena's amazing creative mind. Like that's one of her biggest strengths. And so I think it's important that we just continue to feed in their strengths into them, you know, yeah. because they're experiencing their struggles and sometimes it clouds what their gifts and strengths are in their own head, you know? So I think just feeding into them. And then when the challenges come up, empathizing with them, coming alongside them and collaborating on ways to grow in that area.
Are you overwhelmed by motherhood and barely keeping your head above water? Are you confused and frustrated by how all the other moms make it look so easy? You can't figure out how to manage the chaos in your mind, your home, or your family. I get you, Mama. Parenting with ADHD is hard. Here is your permission slip to let go of the Pinterest-worthy visions of organization and structure fit for everyone else. Let's do life like our brains do life. Creatively, lovingly, and with all our might. When we embrace who we are and how our brains work, we can figure out how to live our lives successfully. And in turn, lead our families well. At the end of the day, we just want to be good moms. But, spoiler alert, you are already a great mom. ADHD does not mean you're doomed to be a hot mess, Mama. You can rewrite your story from shame spiral to success story. And I'll be right here beside you to cheer you on. Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD. Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend, Patricia Sung. Welcome back. I hope you had a chance to listen to the first part of our conversation with Caitlin Mabry, where we talked about her ADHD journey. We discussed how do we teach our kids to interact with people who have disabilities and are different than us, and also how do we increase our children's confidence and self-worth and all the fear and uncertainty that comes with labeling our kids with the ADHD label. Today, we're continuing our conversation in how we can explain to our children that they have ADHD. Teach our ADHD children new responsibilities and skills and help them move forward when they're feeling stuck. We also talk about how do we connect more with our kids and build our relationships stronger together. Let's get back into the good stuff.
So at what point did you take the book and realize, now I'm going to start a podcast?
I actually sat on the podcast idea for about a year.
Okay, so better than the 10 years that I looked at.
See, it's some growth and improvement. Yes. That's a big jump from 10 to 1.
It is.
But I wrestled with it a little bit because I was thinking, I mean, I don't even really listen to podcasts that much, you know? So what happened was, is here I had this book and yes, I was selling it to parents who were giving it to their kids and it was a resource, but I felt like there was a piece missing. I was like, I just want to talk to these kids. I just want to tell them that they're not alone in how they think and feel. I just want to speak into their sweet little hearts and their minds, their brilliant minds. Like I just had this urge to want to talk to them as a teacher, I think too.
Right.
I feel that one of my giftings is to speak directly to kids. So that's when I came up with this idea and I looked into it. There was nothing out there like it. And so I was like, well, that's a good sign, right? So it'll be unique. But to put out a podcast directly speaking to kids about ADHD, all things ADHD. So that's kind of when it birthed Journey With Me through ADHD as a thought. So fast forward a little bit after I thought of it, and I actually hired an ADHD life coach for myself. And I talked to her about this vision. I talked to her about this passion. And she actually really was a pivotal part for me to, she was like, what are you waiting for? I can be a perfectionist. It's never going to be a perfect time. There's never going to be all your ducks in a row to get this thing launched. Just launch it. Just record and put it out there. And I was like, what? You know, because I was wanting to do all these steps and I was wanting to make sure everything was aligned perfectly. And then I realized that it was more than just, I was delaying it for other reasons, right? Like I was delaying it because I wasn't fully confident in putting it out there. Fear of rejection, fear of nobody listening, you know, right. Like, anytime I take a step like that, I notice I start to obsess about it and I start to overthink it. Yeah. And so she really, she was like, give me a date. I gave her a date and that's when I launched it. I launched it and I've done an episode a week ever since. They're not perfect, but they're there. And I figure, you know what, even if there's a nugget inside an episode that helps one person, it's worth it. So yeah.
So I'm going to diverge for a minute because a lot of moms wonder, like, is getting like an ADHD coach worth it? What would you tell them if they're like sitting on the fence, like, oh, I don't know, this is a good idea?
I would say absolutely, even if it's just to get your ball rolling, mm-hmm. you know, because I know it can be expensive. Yeah. Let's just get that out there. It can be. Yeah. But even if it's an investment for a period of time so that it gets you to a place where you're traveling in an upward direction, you're traveling in a growing direction. Because I think so often we get stuck, yeah. right? Us moms get stuck, our brains get stuck, and we just feel so stuck in life. And so I feel that coaching can be super beneficial because it kind of gets you unstuck and gets you moving in a direction where you can grow and you can start utilizing tools and strategies and implementing those things in your life so that you can see progress and you can see improvements in different areas. So,
yeah, I think that's good advice. I think from what I've seen in talking to lots of ADHD moms is that in general, ADHDers, like when we pick something, we feel like we're picking it forever. And that if I make this decision, I've now decided for the rest of my life that this is going to happen. And so having that permission of like, hey, why don't you sign up to talk to this coach for 6 sessions and see what happens, and like just have your set amount. Cause I see it come up like in medication of like, if I choose to take medicine, I'm going to take it forever. It's like, no, you could change your mind later. Like you can't just like change your mind on and off. That's not good for you. But like if 6 months from now, you're like, this isn't working for me, you can change your mind. Or 10 years from now, you can change your mind. Whatever decision you make is not permanent. You can try things out and it's okay to later change your mind, because I think that we a lot of times feel like we're very flaky and we don't stick with things. So going in with the mindset of like, I'm going to hire this coach for, you know, 2 months feels too flaky to us, mm-hmm. as opposed to like, I have a specific thing in mind. I want to get my ball rolling. I don't have to hire this coach for the next 50 years. So right. I like that advice. Exactly. Okay. So getting myself back on my course here, I was like, ooh, got to ask that question. When you talked earlier about, which hopefully people go back and have listened to episode part one, when you were talking about when your parents told you, okay, you have ADHD, but you didn't really get enough information to understand what it was, what would your advice be for mamas who are trying to explain this to their kids? How can they do it in a way that's not overwhelming, but is more approachable, and just any advice that you have to explain this? I feel like this is something that parents really, really struggle with, is how do I explain this to my kid and give them enough information, but not too much that they're like, brains explode.
Well, just get my book and listen to my podcast and you're good to go. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. Step one. Step one. No, I'm kidding. I mean, I'm only partially kidding. So then the reason, it's funny you said that, because that came through my brain and I was like, is that absolutely insane to say that? But that's why
it's here.
Well, and that's why I wrote the book. And that's why I did the podcast for conversation starters. And whether it's my book and my podcast, but I feel that you need to find what works for you and what works for your child in their age and stage of life. Because right. you might be talking about a teenager, right?
Right. And that's a different conversation than a 7-year-old.
Exactly. So you're going to have different conversations. You're going to connect with them in different ways. Visuals are always good. Like I had a kiddo that I was working with in his home and we were playing with his race car track. And I said, oh, I'm like, look at how fast those race cars go. And he goes, that's what my brain feels like. And I was like, yeah, I'm like, my brain feels like that too. But this was after we had kind of talked about, I had given him some other examples of what my brain feels like, you know, mm-hmm. my brain feels like a roller coaster. Well, so then he went and he later, actually that was like another session later, and his mom was like, I've never heard him actually talk about his brain like that. And so I think it's just organically too, just coming alongside your child and especially if you're a mama with ADHD, using yourself as an example. My brain feels like this sometimes, or man, I have some really deep, intense emotions. And you'll be surprised how quickly your kiddo connects with you. And then that's when you can continue with that conversation. And that's another thing. I think it's important for mamas to know that it doesn't need to be a sit down one conversation thing, right? This is a lifelong learning. And so I feel that the best way to do it is just organically having those interactions with your child, honing in on their strengths. Mm-hmm. I mean, every night over my daughter, I'm like, we pray and I say, thank you for Elena's amazing creative mind. Like, that's one of her biggest strengths. And so I think it's important that we just continue to feed in their strengths into them, you know, because they're experiencing their struggles. And sometimes it clouds what their gifts and strengths are in their own head. So I think as mamas, it's important that we, you know, make sure we're pouring in their strengths and gifts and what we're seeing. You know, you are an awesome big brother. You know, are so innovative. Look at how you created that. You know, so I think just feeding into them their gifts. And then when the challenges come up, empathizing with them, coming alongside them, and collaborating on ways to grow in that area.
You took a lot of things that were floating in my head, and I was like, yeah, and that too. That was one of my pet peeves, is like, we're just going to have the one big conversation and then never talk about it ever again. There are very few things with kids that should be those kind of conversations. Like, I actually can't think of any. To me, it reminds me of like the birds and the bees talk. Like, people make it like this big thing and then we never talk about it ever again. It's like, no, you need to have this continual communication with your kid as they grow and they mature, and like, they need to know different things. Like, this needs to be something that you're talking about all the time. Mm-hmm. And the same with them understanding themselves. Like, the way that you're going to explain things when they're 7 is different than you're going to explain when they're 12 or 17. And your dialogue has to mature with them, and you're giving them more information and more detail as they get older. But that strength-based stuff, I mean, that is gold. That's what we need, because even as adults, we focus on what we messed up. We focus on what we didn't do right, or that stupid thing we said 6 months ago that probably the other person doesn't even remember. And we need that constant affirmation to remind us of what is good there. Because we are clouded with the negativity. Not just for kids, folks, not just for kids.
Do you wish there was a way to feel confident about your day? To know exactly where you need to be, when you need to be there, and what you need to do today. I know what it's like to buy 15 different planners and not use any of them for more than a week or two. When you're tired of disappointing your family, your boss, and yourself. Imagine with me that tonight, when you look back at your day, you know that you did the things on your to-do list. You showed up well. You feel productive and accomplished. That's why I created Daily Planning for ADHD Moms, where I teach you how to keep a calendar and organize your to-do list. When you learn these skills from another ADHD brain in super short videos, they finally make sense. So now you'll be able to keep up with the commitments you've made and feel confident in how you're organizing your day. You'll walk away with an easy-to-stick-to, 3-step system to keep up with your calendar, and a simple way to sort through the giant to-do list and figure out what actually matters. Plus, we have a weekly accountability group, so you can ask questions when you're stuck and jump back on the wagon when you fall off. Because you will fall off. That's just part of ADHD. But now you will know how to prepare for that. So if you're ready to figure out your day in a way that makes sense both for mom life and an ADHD brain, I want to help you make this happen. Join me at bit.ly/ADHD plan. That's bit.ly/ADHD plan. It's all lowercase letters. I cannot wait to see you feel confident and competent in how you run your family life.
Well, and that's the thing. We're lifelong learners, right? We can come alongside our kids, and we can learn with them, and we can grow with them. And we want them to see that. And that's empowering too. You know, mom's growing too. I think mom's learning too. And I think it's really important. Sometimes I feel like we have to put this mask on, like, everything's fine, everything's okay. But I think there's just so much power and so much depth to our kids really seeing us in all states and how we deal with that and how we grow through that.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like the generation that we're in, like our parents really had this kind of like infallible, like grown up, I don't want to say like facade, but like grown ups just seemed like they knew everything and could do everything and they were never wrong. And, you know, that whole, you know, kids should be seen and not heard, like over the years, like that's fading. And our kids can't do the things that we don't model. So when we can model like, hey, it's okay that I totally lost my mind today. Everybody gets angry, but here's what we have to do afterwards. We have to check on that other person. We need to make sure that we apologize and that they're doing okay. And if we're not modeling that, how are our kids ever going to learn it?
Exactly. Agreed.
Oh, being a parent's hard.
Mm-hmm. Amen, sister.
So you have a huge background in working with kids who are neurodiverse. Where would you say are like the top areas that they struggle? And what are the, I guess, like a matching skill that we could work on with them to help them in that struggle?
So I've worked with a lot of kids through both classroom and one-on-one tutoring, in-home coaching, all the things. And the biggest struggle I see is the overwhelm with a task given. So that could be the task of cleaning a room. That could be the task of doing an assignment. That could be a task of getting dressed in the morning, right? So there's so many different tasks. So I think this encompasses a lot, but I feel that the greatest thing that we can give our kids is that breakdown and helping them to not only break things down, but also get started on that first step. So, right, we struggle with that initiating tasks. And I think that gets forgotten sometimes. And so here we are as parents sometimes, well, just get them on, just do it, just get it on, just go do that. But then what's happening is a lot of times I'm seeing kids just shut down because it's just too much, right? Because go clean your room, go clean your room. Well, if the room's trashed, then go clean your room. Looks
like where do I even start?
Right, exactly.
It's overwhelming for me as the grown up to go clean that room.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't even know where to start cleaning that room. And so I think cleaning a room is a good one because that can go through all ages. Mm-hmm. So instead of us saying, just go clean your room, we need to break it into pieces. There's a couple things we can do. We can put on music. That'll release some dopamine for them. Like that'll give them some motivation. We can say, okay, instead of go clean your room, put those clothes that are in that pile in the basket, like giving them more specific tasks. Mm-hmm. And it depends on your child. They might be able to handle just that one thing at a time, you know?
Yeah.
And we're in constant training. We're trying to train our brains. And so we need to get into habits. So instead of the cycle of go clean your room. Okay. They don't clean your room. Now you're grounded. And so now you have to go, you know, so then that just becomes a negative cycle. And then they feel inadequate. I just can't clean my room. And so that we can help them succeed in that area, we can give them tasks. And maybe if they're a smaller child, you could even do a picture chart. Okay, first we're going to put our clothes in the basket. Then we're going to put our toys away. And then last, we're going to put our books on the bookshelf. I mean, right. Those are just two examples. So giving them a very specific visual, maybe you could use a visual timer. They have timers with the color on them so that the child knows, okay, let's see how many clothes you can pick up before the timer's up. Or that even might be motivating enough to, you know, let's see how fast you can make your bed, you know? So I feel just making it manageable by breaking it into parts and pieces, I think is a big one. And then when that comes to school assignments, I wanted to talk about that because working with kids and tutoring, I found the most helpful, beneficial strategy I've ever used is to really break down assignments into parts and pieces. And again, that looks different for each child. But if I even cover up, like let's say there's a math sheet, I cover up with a white piece of paper, all but question number one. Well, that helps them initiate the task of just getting started, you know?
Yeah. Because I only have to do one problem. I
only have to do one problem. That's all you have to do is this one problem. And that really does kind of break the ice for them. And that helps them with their executive function challenge of getting started on it.
Yeah. So because once the ball is rolling, then they're like, I did one, I was successful. Now I know I can do two.
So then you drag the paper down to two, you know? So I have this kiddo that I've worked with since he was in third grade, and he's now going into his junior year of high school.
And we're not old at all.
I know. So he has ADHD and he has sensory processing struggles. And so he's actually doing amazing in school. He's doing awesome things, but they've kind of kept me on as, because the processing part can be hard for him sometimes. Mm-hmm. But so for him, he looks in an assignment in English and he shuts down and he'll send it to me and he'll be like, oh my gosh, Ms. Mabry, I don't know where to start. You know, and he's gotten better at vocalizing to me. He'll be like, I can't do any of it because it's just too much, you know? Right. And so I'll just send him one task to do. Okay. All I want you to do is write the introduction sentence. That's it. Just write the introduction sentence and then let me know when you finish that, you know? So just providing that accountability for our kids can be helpful too.
I mean, cause I was a teacher as well. And one of the things that I've noticed that adults don't realize is that because we do things and we do them all the time, we don't realize all of the steps that go into something. So when we say something like, write this English paper, we're like, well, I know how to write an English paper. It's not that hard. I just, you know, blah, 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 it's done. Or clean your room. You're like, okay, I know what that looks like. I can make that happen. But in actuality, the instruction, clean your room, is very vague. Mm-hmm. And from person to person means something different. So we're like, mom's instruction of clean your room, the result she wants may not be the same result that dad would ask for if he said, clean your room. Or what I, as the kid, would say to me, my room is now clean, may look like a third situation. And so when you do something like say, okay, just write the introductory sentence, that's a very specific instruction and everybody's on the same page. Because everyone can look at an introductory sentence and be like, yes, that is an introductory sentence, or no, it is not. As opposed to if you look at a room and say, is that clean? Some people say that you have to have like vacuumed and dusted and all that. And someone else is like, well, there's no crap on the floor, so check.
Exactly. So, well, and I was thinking about it too. I mean, when you think about, I think it's important for us as parents to really think about all the executive function skills that go into some of these things we're expecting of our kids to do, right? So cleaning their room, that takes organization. It takes planning. It takes working memory to remember where things go. You know, there's so many different, it takes initiating tasks. It takes,
and our brains struggle to flip from one to the other.
Exactly.
We might be like, okay, I'm organizing. This makes sense. But then all of a sudden it's like, okay, now I have 17 piles on the floor. What do I do with them?
Well, which is why we tell our kids, or if somebody says, clean your room, you walk in and your child's sitting there looking through their last year's yearbook, you know, like, because, and that we do that as adults all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that would be the biggest one. And I think because it encompasses so many aspects of ADHD struggles. So
yeah, no, that's a good one. Cool. I'm like, oh, even like, I'm thinking like, you know, talking to my 3-year-old today, I was like, oh, I could have broken that down better for sure.
And we can all, I mean, I feel like as moms, we can all say that. Cause here I am. I've thought about that. I told my husband that one time, I was like, I need to practice what I preach. Cause sometimes I'll say something and I'm like, where is this coming from?
But it's hard in the moment. It's like, you know, all this stuff. And I think that's something that happens so often in ADHD. It's like, I have all this information in my brain, but do I actually access it when I need it? Questionable. But like when you're having another conversation with like another mom who's like, oh, I'm really struggling with this. You're like, oh, well, let me tell you about the 15 things I could, all these ideas I have for you. And you're like, I used 0 of those 15 things with my kid today, but they are good ideas.
Totally. Totally.
Earlier we talked about connection and, you know, helping kids connect. You know, like neurotypical kids understanding neurodiverse kids, or even just any kid understanding anyone who's different from that. So as ADHD mamas, a lot of the things that we're struggling with, then also our kids are struggling with, how can we grow that connection with them so that it's not always like, there's going to be a lot of friction because they're going to have similar deficiencies that we do. So you're always going to have more struggle. How can we really like lean in and connect with them so that we can kind of like counterbalance that struggle with the positive?
I think it comes with a lot of snuggles and a lot of I see you and I feel you mini conversations. Like I'll at the end of the night with my daughter. So I have a 9-year-old who has ADHD combined type. She is my mini me. And so we you know, butt heads sometimes. And I'll just completely be transparent with her and say, you know, I saw that you had a lot of deep, intense emotions today around X, Y, and Z, whatever the situation may be. I completely understand that feeling. And I want to know how I can help you work through that for next time. Like, how can we, that was a big size reaction. How can we make that a right size reaction? Because sometimes mommy has a big size reactions too. And I'm always trying to figure out ways to make it more of a right size reaction. And it's interesting because then she'll say the same thing to me. Mommy, that's a big reaction. I'm like, you're right. That is a big reaction. And so I love it because we have that connection. She feels safe and comfortable talking to me about that and very respectfully calling me out on it. I mean, I love that we have that. She actually says we have twin brains. She's like, Mom, we have twin brains. And I was like, we do have twin brains. So I think just being very aware of those moments where there's friction and then using those to harness conversations that will lead to connection mm-hmm. and a deeper understanding of each other and where your mind's at, where your heart's at, where your feelings are at and your emotions are at. So, yeah.
Well, that's some pretty good advice. So I'm going to leave us there and go into our lightning round questions. So all you have to do is complete the sentence. You don't have to give any explanation at all, unless you want to, because, you know, ADHD. Number one, the best thing I've read or listened to recently is?
Reading a book about leadership and learning how to be a better leader.
Okay. Number two, my most boring about me fact is?
I can't stand peas.
They are pretty gross. Number three, when I'm having a rough day, my go-to quote, song, poem, book, activity, whatever is?
Exercise.
Number four, don't tell anyone I
was Miss Woodstock. So embarrassing.
I'm
just
kidding. I'm like, I don't even know what that is, but now I want to know. Number five, if I had a magic fairy wand for one spell, I would
help everyone feel loved and understood.
And number six, my best piece of advice for mamas with ADHD is
to love unconditionally, laugh often, and give yourself a lot of grace.
That I need some more of.
Me too.
Okay. So tell the mamas, how can they find you or connect with you or get a copy of your book?
Yes, you can actually find me on my website, www.caitlinmabry.com. And from there, you can find all my social media platforms if you wanted to follow me. My book's on there. My podcast is on there. It's kind of my hub for all the different. You can find my podcast on Apple, Spotify, pretty much all the different podcasting apps. And yeah, if any of you mamas or your kiddos would want to be a guest on my podcast, you can reach out to me for that too. And if you would like a signed copy of my book, you can reach out to me directly and I can send you a personalized signed copy.
That is amazing. Well, I will link all that in the show notes. So mamas, you can just click on there. And thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed every second.
Be sure to check out the podcast Journey with Me Through ADHD with your ADHD child, and we'll talk soon, successful mama. For more resources, classes, and community, head over to my website, motherhoodinadhd.com.